Well, I hope you're good. God thinks you're good. I think you're good. You look good. You're feeling good. Should be. Knowing God is just a wonderful thing. Experiencing His life in us is just brilliant. Just brilliant. Denise mentioned the Night of Nations, and I just want to say this about our Night of Nations. We as a church have made up a lot of different nationalities, and that's a wonderful thing. I love it. And so when we have Night of Nations, it's not about to create separate nationalities. It's about celebrating where people have come from. And we want to do that. And of course the food, well, that is great too. I love it. And you will, if you've never been to our Night of Nations, you will have a great experience. The last time we had one, which was 2 years ago, last year we couldn't because of COVID, there were people who came here and help provide food who are not part of our church, but they just wanted to be part of it. So there was Maltese people who are not Christian, but they came along. There were people from other nationalities who came along, South Africans and so on, and they just wanted to be part of the event. So if that's you, you're from another nation or even Australian, why don't you invite some people to be part of it, to do some cooking or to come and help or to wear a traditional costume or whatever it might be. I do have some photos, but they're not right to go yet. I don't think they're here, so we'll maybe show those next week, just of the last one we had and some of the good things that were there. But we want to make it a special night. We love to celebrate the differences. We don't want to make the differences separate us. We believe that should bring us together, and that's what I want to happen on the Night of Nations. Can I pray with you this morning? Let's do that. Ready? Father, I'm so conscious of your life in us and your plans for our life. I'm so conscious, Lord, of your presence here this morning. And I'm just believing, Father, for a great grace to flow upon the lives of people, a great hope to arise. In the days in which we are, there is such an evident Lord of evil, but we remember your word that says where evil abounds, grace does much more abound. And so today, Lord, as Christians, we stand with faith to believe for the things that you have in our hearts, to be able to walk forward in the ways you want us to walk, to live the way you want us to live, to be the people who love and share the life of Christ with others, that we might be lights in darkness, hope where there is depression, whatever it might be. Let your hand be upon your people. May we grow in you, Lord, in wonderful ways. Amen. So, I'm coming back to the 23rd Psalm. We're now up to verse 4. And I have encouraged you in the Psalm to make it a part of your daily program of devotion, that you will quote the 23rd Psalm. My belief is that this is one of the most powerful portions of Scripture, and it contains literally in this short song written by David the whole truth of Christianity, and that when we speak it out, we declare it, it becomes truth into our lives. And I would encourage you, make it a part of your daily prayer. It takes less than 2 minutes to be able to say it, to go through it, from the Lord is my shepherd to I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's a great, great psalm, and I encourage you in that you can build your Christian life up as you make declaration. See, faith requires confession. That's what the Bible says. We believe in our hearts, speak with our mouths, out it comes. And so you've got to get something in to get something out. And so by speaking the word into your heart, it then becomes part of your faith release. What's it say? Oh, excuse me. My wife and I are into signs and wonders. She makes the signs, I do the wondering. And so she just put the sign up that said there are notes on the app. So you can go there, there will be notes on the screen, but they're also on the app as well. Okay, where was I before I was, yeah, never mind. Come on back to Psalm 23, verse 4. It says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So let's start at the first word, yea. Now it's Y-E-A, not Y-A-Y, okay? And literally it means when you say yay in the context of Scripture, anybody used the term yay in the last week?
Yes.
You did, Cain. Well, that's what I said. Nobody's perfect. And yay, it means I'm telling the truth. In fact, the other reinforcement out is yay, verily. What I'm saying is absolute truth. There's no second guessing on this. So David's saying, yay, listen to what I have to say here. This is truth. I'm confirming what I'm going to say from personal experience. This is my confession, he's saying. Even though, and I could say even, that's not there, but even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, life is meant to be lived, not endured. God designed life for us to walk through our time on earth. For some it's shorter, for some it's longer. It doesn't matter the length, but it matters what happens during that particular walk. You know that on tombstones or on the memorials we see in cemeteries, it'll have the date of birth, dash, and then the date of death. It's the dash that matters because that represents their walk through that period of time upon the earth. And so when we're walking through this life, it's more than existence. God's given us the opportunity to have a life here on this earth for a reason. And that reason is that we will come to Him and acknowledge Him in every way as Saviour, as Lord, as the lover of our souls, as the one who wants us to be with Him. It's there before us, and it's only in this life that we can find it, because once we get to the door of death, that's too late. Once you go through that door, you cannot change your mind. Now, I've heard stories of people who've gone through experiences where they've had another opportunity. That may happen, and that's in God's hands. I don't run the show, He does. But I understand this, that by the principle of Scripture, when we get to that door of death and we go through the door, you cannot change your destination. If you're a Christian, it's with God. If you're not a Christian, it's the other place, what we call hell, but it'll be the lake of fire eventually. And that's a sad and a terrible thing to know that, and to think that people go there, and we don't want that. We want to pray for people, and we need to keep praying for people. So this life, we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We are walking through it. It's to grow, it's to know, it's to love, and it's to be, so that we can go forward. We go forward, not backwards. Life, you walk forward, you can't walk backwards in your life. Through the valley of the shadow of death. Notice it's through. We don't, in this life, we live in the valley of the shadow of death, but we're going through it. There's a day coming when there's light at the end of the valley. That's when we move from this life to the next life. And so in the valleys, they help to develop us. That's where we grow. There can be no mountaintops without valleys. It's part of our process in life. The valleys are designed to get us closer to God, to know our need of Him. The children of Israel came out of Egypt. And if you read the story, you know that God did mighty miracles to bring them out. Then He took them 40 years of the desert. There was estimated to be about 3 million children of Israel. That's an awful lot of people. 3 million in the desert. And God fed them with manna. Can you think of the number of tons of manna that were necessary to feed 3 million people? And then they had to have water. I mean, it's thirsty work in the desert. The amount of water that they needed to drink and how much had to be produced daily, and they had opportunities to drink at some springs, but generally the Bible said it was the rock that followed them that provided their water. So that must have been gushing out huge amounts of water for them to be able, and not only to drink, but to bathe in and to do, you know, wash their clothes and stuff like that. So the provision was amazing, and yet they disobeyed God. Then they get into the promised land. As they're going in, Moses said, well, I know you're going to be a disobedient people. This is what God will do if you're good. You'll be blessed. God will look after you, provide for you. This is what's going to happen when you disobey Him. And I know you're going to disobey Him because you are a disobedient group of people. That's what he said. When you disobey Him, it's bad news. You're going to flee from your enemies. God isn't going to bless you. Heavens aren't going to let down rain. You're going to suffer. It's going to be bad, bad news for you. Now, why was he saying that? He's saying That's because God wants to bring you back to himself. And so we understand that going through valleys is often God's attempt to bring us closer to himself. You know, little children, when they get frightened by the dark or whatever it is, they want to get closer to their parent. They hang on to the parent, hang on to their hand, hang on to their trouser leg, whatever it might be, because they are fearful. And that's what we should come. When trouble comes, and let me tell you, if you've never experienced trouble, come and talk to me afterwards. I'll help you to find some. Because trouble is a part of life. We don't go through life without any risks, without any things going wrong. It happens all the time. When I first became a Christian, I thought, this is great. God is so good. I won't have any troubles. It will just be wonderful. Well, it was for a little while, and then things happened. And I got a bit upset because I thought, well, how could this be? I'm now related to God. Wait, why is he allowing this to happen to me? Well, experience tells you God's doing things. Why? Because he wants me to grow. So trouble comes. And why should I have a trouble-free life? Because then how can I relate to other people in the world if I don't experience any difficulties in life? I can come and say to people, yeah, there's trouble. Yeah, there's problems. Yeah, there's sickness. But my God is so good. He keeps me. He protects me. He blesses me. You know, all of those things. And you obviously can experience and know that yourself. So we go through the valley. We're not stopping there. There is an end to the valley. It's not a dry gulch with a wall up that you can't go through. There is an end, and we do go through. And it says, through the valley of the shadow of death. The oldest man in Australia is 111 years old. I do not aspire to reach that age. In fact, I thought 85 would be good to, you know, move on, move away. How old? My granddaughter will be about 14, 15, that time. So, you know, it's a good time to go. But I don't get the choice. Those are in God's hands. But what I'm saying is, we're all going to die one day. We are born to die. You have to live to be able to die, but you have to die to be able to live for a Christian. Because in the life is existence with God the Father. So, in that process, we go through the valley of the shadow of death. Death shadows us as we live in this life. We know that you can't live forever. It's not going to happen. It just doesn't happen. Nobody has lived forever. People might have, I think the oldest person in the world is in 130 something, but still that's a blink in comparison with the existence of the world and in comparison with eternity, which there's no measure of time and eternity. It just goes on literally forever. So it follows us, and we die. There will be a day of death, although I'm believing for the rapture. That's the good news. I'm believing we're going to see the rapture come out. In fact, I don't expect to die physically unless something happens in the short term. I expect to go in the rapture, and I expect you to go in the rapture too. We will not die a physical death in that case. But remember, death is only a shadow. For us, it's an existence here in preparation for the next place, which is in our presence of God for eternity. How good is that? In the Blue Mountains of New South Wales, I guess a number of you would have visited there. They're called Blue Mountains because of the eucalyptus oil in the trees. And as it evaporates it up, it creates an appearance of blue over there. So if you're looking from Sydney, you can actually see the Blue Mountains from Sydney on the western side, and you can see that it looks blue out there. That's why they call it the Blue Mountains. Now, if you've been there, you see that there are quite deep valleys, and I can't tell you the depth of them. It's been a number of years since I was there. But I, as a teenager, had been through there camping, and you go down into the valley floor, and you're shadowed by the mountains on either side, and the sun disappears very quickly, even though it might only be early afternoon, because it's behind the mountain. And so you're in the shadow, and it gets very cold in those valleys. And I tell you, to have a bath in the creeks there is a quick in and out process because it's so cold. And you tend to go to bed early because it's dark and it's cold, and then you get up early as you go. But what I'm trying to say, there is a shadow that's cast. On the top of the mountains, it's sunny. It's still warm and sunny. Down here, cold and dark. But here's the interesting thing. You don't get water on the top of the mountains. The creeks are down in the valleys. That's where you get the water. That's provision for life. And that's what we need to realize, that we are getting the water of life from God while we're in the valley, going through the valley of the shadow of death. Because in the valley, your perception is limited. On the mountaintops, you can see for miles. You can see clearly. In the valley, it's very hard to see anything. And particularly in Australia, all these wretched gum trees are in your way. You can't see anything. That's what I love about South Africa. They don't have all these gum trees everywhere. You can see for miles. It's wonderful. The point being, our perception is limited in the valley. And so here we are living this life through the valley of the shadow of death. And our perception is, this is all there is. That's not true. This is but a small period of time that God has created and given people opportunity to really discover what is truth. And that's what God has set before us. Talking about death, people have a fear of death. And Christians shouldn't have a fear of death, because we have life. And you see, sadly, that I've had to conduct funerals of babies. And that's a tremendously sad thing. I saw that COVID has killed 5 million people in the world. Incidentally, I saw an article that said 33,000 Australians have died since the beginning of January, and only one COVID death out of 33,000. Interesting statistic. Three people died on the road during the week on the highway in separate accidents up north. Sadly, a policeman was killed on the road trying to stop a stolen car, a 24-year-old female driver, and she's wrecked her life now. That's going to be a lose situation for everybody, not only the policeman and his family, but for her as well. We hang on to life, and I think that we've got to treasure life. You shouldn't take your life. You shouldn't waste your life. But really, what does God think of death? I've been reading in the Old Testament much of late, and I was in the book of Joshua. And in the book of Joshua, it's where they're taking the promised land. And God says, go and take that city, that town, whatever, go and defeat those people, that tribe, and kill everybody. And I began to think about it. I thought, kill everybody. What does that mean? That means you might fight in a battle and kill a man in battle, but then you've got to go and kill his wife. She's not fighting against you. You've got to kill his children. You've got to kill babies. I mean, we'd call that war crimes today, wouldn't we? And that's what God expected. And you say, well, what kind of God is that? I can't answer that. That's God's business. I trust God. So he had a reason for doing that. But the point I'm trying to make is, death in God's sight, in one way, isn't as precious as death in our sight, because God knows what's beyond death. And if somebody's destined for hell, does it really matter whether they live for 100 years and then go to hell, or live for 20 years and go to hell? Because that's their final destination anyway. So the same for Christians. We're born again. And Paul said, I'm keen to go to be with the Lord, but I'm still trying to work with you here and help you, and I'm in a bit of a quandary. I don't know which I want most to go. But here we've got to understand, death is just a phase. I think we should live. I think when somebody dies, it does affect us, because we lose somebody. It might be somebody close, a friend, somebody we know. We are affected by that, and that's not wrong. I'm trying to put that down, but I'm just trying to say, death, in God's sight, is a little different to how we think about death, because God knows what's on the other side of death. And so when we go, say we're going through the valley of the shadow of death, he said, I will not fear. David said, I will not fear in the valley of the shadow of death. I won't fear when I'm in the valley. I won't fear what's beyond the valley. Through the valley of the shadow of death. The thing about fear, it's a decision. Fear can come, but it's how you respond to the thing that frightens you. You ever watch those movies, and you see the spy going into places that are so dangerous, where they could be captured or killed. And I mean, my palms are sweating, the music's dramatic, and I'm tense, wondering what's going to happen, but the spy is just cruising around as if it's a day on the beach. Ice water in their veins, doesn't worry them. That's why I wasn't cut out to be a spy. I can see that, but I know there are people who are. And it's not a fearful thing for them. They're not frightened by that. They can handle that because they've got such a nature. Why? Because they've determined in advance. Do they get frightened? Yes, they do, but they've handled it. They've handled the fear, and they said, I will not fear. And I'm telling you, that's what we've got to come to, that through this life, we will not fear. There's stuff happening in this world that is frightening. And if we just knew a little bit more about it, we'd be even more frightened of what's happening out there. But you've got to determine, I will not be afraid. David said, I will not fear in the valley I'm going through. And I'm encouraging you this morning, when things come against you to create fright, it might be because you're going through a medical experience, it might be because something else is happening in your life, it might be because of the neighbours you have, they're Hell's Angels and they've got your name on their list. Don't be frightened. Just hide. Get out of town, do something, but don't be frightened. I will not fear. Choose not to fear. David set his sights on God. In 1 Peter 5:8, the scripture says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The word devour means a number of things. One of it is to wear people out. But one of his greatest tactics is fear. You notice he comes to you and he talks to you about things. You need to be worried. You need to be afraid. You hear that? Hear that noise coming from your car? That's a serious problem. That's going to cost you a lot of money. What happens then? You start to worry about it. All it was a stone in the tire, but it sounded like an expensive problem with the car. Or you could be fearful about a relationship, fearful about your health. Or that little pain you feel there, that's got to be cancer. Yeah. You need to worry. You need to be fearful of that. See, he's trying to bomb you with fear. Why? Because he's trying to wear you out. He's trying to devour you. When a lion roars, and I've only heard a lion roar a couple of times in my life, why would you roar if you're trying to catch prey? Because you're just scaring the prey. But I figure this, you know, this is a typical male. Does the roaring to frighten the prey, but it's the lioness who's got to go catch it. So they're hiding somewhere. The lion roars, the prey runs, the lionesses catch it. You understand what I'm saying? So the devil's roar is designed to frighten. He wants to make you full of fear. That's why David said, don't fear. I will fear no evil. I won't live there. Okay. Then he goes on to say, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The rod was like a stick used by the shepherd for defence, to protect the sheep and sometimes to bring correction to the sheep. The rod represents the word of God. When we apply it to our lives, it brings instruction, protection and direction. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. When Hannah was talking this morning about the most powerful thing in the universe, the nuclear pasta, that's an interesting subject, isn't it? I've never heard that before. To me, this is the most powerful thing that we have in our possession. Obviously, I'm not going to lift up a teaspoon of nuclear pasta. That's just a little heavy. I mean, some of you are probably strong enough, but I certainly am not to pick that up. But this is the most powerful thing that God has given us. And that's why David says, thy rod. For us, the rod is scripture, because this brings correction, doctrine, exposure to truth. If we didn't have this, imagine what church would be like. People could get up and say anything. This is what God says. This is what God, we wouldn't know what to believe. But here we have truth laid out for us. So we know when we're exposed to error. We know when we're exposed to evil. We have the power of God's word in our lives. And I want to tell you, you need to have this. That's why I encourage you, at least learn Psalm 23 by heart so you can declare it without having to even open the Bible to read it. Learn other scriptures as well. Do it while you're younger. It's harder when you get older. Believe me. Do it. Learn it. Let the word become true to you. I'll tell you what happens. When you face situations, the word will come back to deliver you. There's times when I'm going through things and the word of God comes to me. Why? Because I've learnt the word. I've exposed myself to it. I read this. I read it every day. I usually read it just before I go to sleep. Try and get through 5 or 6 chapters of the Bible to just get it into my very being. I want it living within me. Now, do I know it all? No, I do not. Do I understand it all? No, I do not. I'm honest. But I'm trying because I see this is the word of life that's provided for me. So the rod and the staff. The staff represents the Holy Spirit. To the shepherd, it was for support as he was walking on difficult terrain, or to draw the sheep, because it usually had a curve in it, draw the sheep to him for inspection, and also to guide the flock and redirect a sheep that is not going the right way. The Hebrew word means to support and to sustain. We need the Holy Spirit. God has given us the rod and the spirit that lives within. We have everything we need. We can't say to God, you've left me in a hopeless situation to face this world and I'm not going to make it through because I don't have the things that are needed. God says, I provided you with everything you need, the rod and the staff. And then he said, they comfort me. We need the Bible. We need the spirit. John 8:31, Jesus said, to the Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We have the word. We have the spirit. And they're there to comfort us. Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you alone. I will send you a comforter. John 16:7 says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I will send him to you. Old King James, comforter. New King James, helper. The Holy Spirit is here. We are going through the valley of the shadow of death. I wouldn't like to be in a valley at night. It's dark down there, and a lion's roaring. You wonder, where's the lion? Because it just echoes off all of the area around there. That's the amazing part about lion's roars. They're all enveloping. You don't know where it is. How frightened you'd feel. Stoke the fire, try and keep some sort of light there. But I have the comforter. I have the Holy Spirit. You know, I would think, and I won't embarrass you, but did you have a comforter as a child? Maybe it was a favourite toy, a stuffed animal. Maybe it was a little blanket. Might have been a dummy or a pacifier. Who knows what? But we call it a comforter. And so we have a comforter as adults. We don't have a little stuffed toy or that. Well, that's your thing. Well, that's okay. But, you know, as for me and my house, we don't have one of those. Listen, the Holy Spirit is our comforter. Amen. This is part of the guide, and the Holy Spirit brings truth out of this to us so that we can walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Jesus said he will teach us, John 14:26, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. So we have the truth, we have the Spirit who's teaching us all things, and it's based on this. We can find our way through the valley. I've been in valleys, and the thing with the valley is you don't know where you are. And I'm talking about the days before you had GPS, mobile phones, all of those things. You just had your watch. You're sort of trying to roughly work out where the sun is, where west is, because you're going through some of these valleys and you're talking about days of trekking. And you don't want to get lost. And I mean, people are still getting lost in places like that today. Some of our places down in southern Queensland, people are getting lost when they go out in the bush. Why? Because once you're in the bush, you don't know where you are. And unless you know the way, or there's signs there to tell you, or you have a GPS system or whatever it is, you won't find your way. The Holy Spirit is our GPS through the valley of the shadow of death, and we need it, and you need to take it with you. Don't leave him at home. When you go out, take the Holy Spirit with you. Welcome him in your life. Speak to the Holy Spirit. Thank him for being there. Say, Holy Spirit, show me truth. Show me the way. Help me to live my life that honors God. That's what we've got to do. We've got to be teachable. I went to a school where you had to be a man. Men didn't cry. Men didn't do this. Men didn't do that. Men had to be independent. What a load of hogwash. That was, I'm not going to say it was a wasted educational opportunity. That would be untrue. But it was wrong in its application. I need God. And I feel the mistake I've made in my Christian life is that I have sought to do things in my strength instead of his strength. Because I thought that's what men do. I thought that's what you're supposed to do. When really I should have been calling on God and saying, Father, help me to do this and to do it your way, to make sure it's done right. I've learnt that lesson later in life, and I'm asking you to listen to what I say, and perhaps you can grab that lesson a little earlier in life, if you're obviously younger than I am, so that you're doing it God's way. It doesn't mean we don't make an effort to do things. I don't mean that, but we go forth in God. I pray every morning, God, would you bless this day and lead me in your way? The Bible says the steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. I want my steps ordered of God. Because then it says he delights in his way. I want God to delight in my way. But I want my way to be his way. David said, you know, teach me your ways. Let me understand the paths. We need God, and we need to set our eyes upon him, because we're going through a valley, and the valley is in darkness, and we don't know, we don't have the perception of everything like you would on the mountaintop. We need God to take us through that valley, bring us through on the other side. Humility. That's what it's about. When I read the scripture out of Peter where it says the devil goes about a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, the next verse says, humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God, and the devil will flee from you. Humility is not, oh, I'm just a nothing. You can walk all over me. Humility is, I know who I am, but I set my eyes on God. He's my strength. He's my hope. He's the one my heart's set upon, because he's my provider. He's my presence. He's my protector. So we need to apply this to our life, because I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know what event may come into your life which will be a very difficult event. It might be a terrifying event as you pass through this valley of the shadow of death. But I do know this, God has given you the word, he's given you the spirit, and he's given you his presence. And you can rely on that, and you can call on that as you go through it. And of course, we're here to help too. We can pray for you. But you've got to get connected to God yourself. I can't do it for you. You need to do it. So, applying this to your life, we've got to believe, declare in faith. Be people of faith and speak it into being. So we're going to read Psalm 23 together, and it should be up on the screen, I hope, so we can do that. We got Psalm 23, the whole psalm? There we go. Why don't you stand with me this morning? And I'm going to ask you to do this. Take a deep breath, and then let's declare it together. Let's speak the truth of this. I want this to be so real in your life. The power of Scripture transforms people. I want you to be transformed by the Word of God. Ready? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's pray together this morning. Father, thank you for your life that flows in us. Thank you that you've given us the power of your word. We would be such a mess without that. Thank you that you've given us the indwelling Holy Spirit so that we have a confidence that when you said you never leave us nor forsake us, that that in fact is true. That when the Spirit goes, we go. And so, Lord, as we're passing through the valley of the shadow of death, we're not going to fear evil because you're there. You're with us. Your presence is with us. Our hearts are encouraged. Your Spirit rises up in us. Lord, let us be strengthened today. Let us just know your ways. Let us have a confidence in you. Let us make a declaration so that we can stand by the power of God and the grace of God. Father, I don't know what the days ahead hold. I pray that they're blessed. I pray that they're good. But I have a confidence, Lord, that no matter what the days ahead hold, you know and you're with us. And you don't let us go through anything that you haven't determined to be for our ultimate good. And so we commit ourselves to you for that and ask for your blessing to be upon us today as we go forth in Jesus' name. May we be lights in the darkness and hope where it is hopeless, and a blessing to those who need it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Lead us in a song, Daniel, would you? Amen. Over 100 years ago, there was two brothers named Roberts, and they were part of a revival that occurred, started in Wales. And one of them was in a particular town conducting a crusade, a tent crusade as they did in those days. And the first night, he had less than a dozen people there, and he said, "Oh Lord, this is a waste of time." But he preached a short message, And then he was about to dismiss the crowd, and God said, I want you to pray for people who need prayer. He said, what's the point, Lord? There's only, you know, less than a dozen people here. They look like Christian. You know, why would I do that? God said, do it. So he said, well, if you need prayer, come. So one man came out, and the preacher didn't even walk down to lay hands on him. He just said, give him what he wants, God, and left. The next night, the preacher was coming back to the tent, and the people were streaming up the road. He said, oh, there's a circus in town. What happened? The man who came out for prayer didn't have a tongue in his mouth, and God gave him one. And the whole town knew. So your miracle might be today. So I'm going to pray over you this morning. You have a need? Let's pray God give you what you want, what you need. You ready? Let's do it. If you need a miracle this morning, would you just lift your hand? Just put your hands out in front of you. Lord, I need a miracle. I don't know what your miracle is. God does. So Father, I just pray, give them what they need. Let miracles happen. God, you're a God of miracles. We read it in the Word. We know it in our hearts. May we see it happen. Stir the faith of people to believe. Let our hearts be open to receive that. And let miracles come. Father, I speak miracles in the name of Jesus right now over the lives of people. And I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Listen, don't give up on a miracle. Don't give up. Many people have asked for a miracle. God sent a miracle. And for whatever reason, it hasn't come immediately. That's up in God's hands. But they've pulled back. Oh, well, God hasn't sent it. They've cut their miracle off. I can only encourage you, keep believing God. Unfortunately, we're a microwave generation. We want it yesterday. Sometimes God doesn't do that. He wants us to press through. Believe for the miracle. Speak your miracle and let it happen. If you want to be prayed for this morning, hands laid upon you in prayer, Pastor Kane loves to do that. Man of faith. He'd be happy to stay and pray with people who come for prayer. May God bless you. Go in the grace of God. Go in His power. Go in His anointing. Go in the expectation that God has great things for your life and great purposes for you to fulfill. Amen and amen. May God bless you.